Out of the night.
Out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with fate. The true story today of a clever and impudent fraud that almost succeeded, but not quite.
My husband is dead. You hold the proofs. That's all there is to it. I insist upon immediate settlement of my claim.
Generally speaking, large-scale insurance frauds are a product of the present century. But this is the story of one that happened more than 80 years ago, and which remains today one of the most daring of them all. It began one day in 1875, when an attractive woman dressed in black presented herself to the manager of a leading Paris insurance company.
Madame Douat, I believe.
Yes.
Won't you be seated, please?
Oh, thank you.
Now, what can I have the privilege of doing for you?
My husband, Vital Douat, recently took out a life insurance policy with your company for 100,000 francs. I have it here.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember the gentleman well. A big man, very genial. A wine merchant of Bordeaux, if my memory is not at fault.
That is so. I have come all the way from there to see you.
Indeed? Why?
To report his death.
But surely Madame cannot be serious.
Why not?
Well, Monsieur Douat seemed such a robust, healthy man. Our doctor who examined him passed him as a first-class risk.
Ways of providence are inscrutable, Monsieur.
True, true. When and where did this unfortunate event occur?
A fortnight ago. My husband went to London on business. Little did I know as I said goodbye that it would be the last time I would see him.
Oh, now, Madame must be brave.
Oh, forgive me. Yes, I keep telling myself that. He took lodgings in Anne Street, Plaistow. There on November 29th, he died suddenly, apparently with no warning whatever of aneurysm of the heart. Oh, here is a certificate from the physician who attended him. It is signed, as you see, in the name of Dr. Critty.
Yes. Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate indeed.
And here is another certificate from the Registrar of Deaths in London. And here is a receipt for the purchase of a plot and for burial fees at St. Patrick's Cemetery.
Thank you. Your thoroughness will no doubt save us a great deal of time. May I take charge of these papers?
Oh, yes, of course. Will I have to wait long for my money?
Oh, no more than a few days. There are just one or two little matters, formalities, you understand. I'd suggest you return a week from today. And allow me to say, madame, how deeply grieved I am to learn of your sad loss.
But when Madame Douat returned a week later, it wasn't quite as easy as she had thought.
Madame Douat, since our last interview, I have taken the liberty of making certain inquiries regarding your husband.
Indeed? Why?
A reasonable precaution, surely, since his death may possibly involve my company in the paying out of 100,000 francs.
May involve? But surely it's all quite simple. My husband is dead. You have the papers. What other question arises?
Madame, 2 months ago, your husband filed a petition of bankruptcy.
That is so, but I don't see...
Among his creditors in Bordeaux, there is a general feeling that it was a bankruptcy of convenience rather than necessity.
Are you insinuating?
I insinuate nothing, madame. I merely state that these suspicions became so strong that the police were induced to issue a warrant for your husband's arrest. That is the real reason why he went to London.
Even if it was, I do not see that it has anything to do with you.
Perhaps not. Nevertheless...
My husband is dead. You hold the proofs. That's all there is to it. I insist upon immediate settlement of my claim.
It shall be settled when we have completed our inquiries, madam. Not the day before.
I am entitled to the money, and if I don't get it, I warn you, I shall seek legal assistance.
That is your privilege, of course. Good day, madam.
But however suspicious the circumstances, the insurance company knew that unless they could rebut the evidence of Duas' death, they would sooner or later have to pay. So it was that a few days later, Scotland Yard found themselves in possession of all the facts, with an inquiry to look into them. The commissioner sent at once for one of his most trusted detectives, Nathaniel Druskovich.
Well, there you are, Druskovich. There's the data, and there are the papers. Very funny business. See what you can make of it.
If these certificates are authentic, Duas must be dead and buried.
The insurance company thinks that his death occurred just a trifle too conveniently. They believe that a man who's committed a bankruptcy fraud is also capable of committing an insurance fraud. Well, I'm leaving it to you to ascertain beyond all possible doubt whether this man Duas is dead or not.
Druskovich's inquiries took him first to the house in Ann Street, Plaistow, where Duas was supposed to have died. There he had an interview with the landlord.
Yes, sir. There was a foreign gentleman took the place a few weeks ago. Called himself Bernardi.
Was he a big, jovial, prosperous-looking man, aged about 45?
Why, yes, sir. That description fits him perfectly, sir.
Did he have any references?
No, sir. He gave me no references. He did better than that. He paid me a month's rent down, and that was good enough for me. Said he wanted a place where he could look after a sick friend.
Did you see anything of this friend?
No. You see, Mr. Bernardi had only been here a couple of days when his friend died. Something wrong with his heart, I believe. Most unfortunate. Very sudden indeed.
There was a funeral, I suppose?
Oh, yes, quite a grand one. He buried his friend in St. Patrick's Cemetery.
And then?
Well, that's all I can tell you, sir. You see, Mr. Bernardi packed his things the same night, and he went off, and I haven't seen him since.
The detective's next call was on the caretaker of St. Patrick's Cemetery.
Vito Duas? Oh, yes, sir. I remember the burial quite well. Such an unusual name, you see.
The arrangements were made by a foreigner, a Mr. Bernardi, I believe.
That's so. A very pleasant gentleman, indeed. He presented the death certificate, paid the fees, and generally took charge of the whole affair.
Were there many mourners at the burial?
Only one, sir. Mr. Bernardi himself.
Do you happen to remember who the undertaker was?
Yes, sir. It was old Sam Brown of Plaistow. Been in the business nigh on 40 years, he has.
Good. I'll call on him at once.
Yes, sir, I recall the gentleman quite well. He ordered a full-sized ready-made coffin. I remember particularly because he insisted that the handles should be altered from the sides to the ends of the coffin, as is the custom in France.
And can you give me a description of the person who was buried in this coffin?
To tell you the truth, I can't, sir.
But surely you must have seen the body?
No, I didn't. On Mr. Bernardi's instructions, I delivered the coffin to Ann Street. He said it wasn't necessary for me to do anything more, as he would put the body in the coffin and screw it up.
That's a very unusual procedure, isn't it?
Are you trying to tell me my business? Maybe it was unusual, but let me tell you, I know my legal rights, and I acted within them. There was no obligation whatever on me to put the body in the coffin. Mr. Bernardi presented a certificate of death properly signed by the registrar. And that was good enough for me.
Well, it's not good enough for me.
Well, what do you mean, sir?
I mean that I'm going to get an authority for an order for exhumation.
Two nights later, the newly turned earth was disturbed once more, and the coffin was brought to the surface.
All right.
Yeah,
unscrew the lid.
Yes, sir. All the same. I don't think it's right that we should disturb the rest of the dead like this. It's desecration. That's what it is.
Stop grumbling and get on with your job.
No good will come of it. Mark my words. No good at all. There you are, sir. I hope you're satisfied. Well, bless me so.
Desecrating the dead, eh?
There's nothing there but a few odd bits of metal to make up the weight. What a surprise.
Not to me, it isn't.
There remained now only two or three formal calls, and Druskovich's case was completed.
Well, there's the whole story, sir. Using the name of Bernardi, Duas took lodgings at Plaistow. He pretended he had a sick friend, whom nobody saw, of course, and a couple of days later gave out that his friend had died. He forged a medical certificate of death.
Have you established that?
Yes. I interviewed the only doctor in London by the name of Critty. He said that the writing was a clumsy forgery and that he had never attended an attendant at Plaistow.
Well, that seems conclusive enough. Go on, Druskovich.
He presented the forged certificate to the Registrar of Deaths and received an official certificate of death. He showed that to the undertaker and to the cemetery authorities. When the coffin was delivered at the house, he filled it with scrap metal and screwed down the lid. He attended the funeral and the burial, paid the fees and obtained receipts.
A very clever fraud. Very clever indeed. Now all we have to do is to find Monsieur Duart.
That's not going to be so easy. I've taken to Liverpool, and I've reason to believe that he's on his way to America under the name of Rubini.
I see. That makes it rather difficult, doesn't it?
I would suggest that the Paris Sûreté pick up his wife. The best chance of finding Duart is through her.
I quite agree. But you see, my last advice from Paris is that Madame Duart has disappeared also.
Since the insurance company had not paid out its 100,000 francs, the French authorities did not think it worthwhile searching for and extraditing Duart from the United States. And there the matter may have rested for all time, if Duart had been wise enough to stay where he was. But 5 years later, he made the fatal error of returning to England. So it happened that one day Nathaniel Druskovich was called again before his chief.
You'd better look into this, Druskovich.
Yeah, what's it all about, sir?
A suspected insurance fraud. Some fellow insured a quantity of goods that he was shipping by boat for £5,000. There's a fire in the hold, his goods were destroyed, and he's lodged a claim.
Ah. Well, that makes the company think there's been a fraud.
One of their officers found the remains of a barrel of tar among the fire debris.
Very clumsy, I must say. What's the name of the man in the case?
Yeah, he's a foreigner. Calls himself Roberti.
Roberti, eh? Bernardi, Rubini, Roberti. I wonder.
This time, Druskovich made no mistake. Duart was arrested and handed over to the French authorities. He was tried and some years later died in prison. Out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind, bringing you stories taken from the highway of life. Strange, but true.